Treasures in heaven. Amen. You can look out in the world today. You can go to the ball fields and they're just loaded down. Amen. But you ought to be thankful for you, because you chose to be in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, I know that God has something here for us today. Amen. I appreciate God so much that there was a time that I might have been in those, all of the places where they play ball and all of these things. But I'm glad one day, amen, God touched my heart. Hallelujah. And I count it a privilege to raise my hands up to Him. I count it a privilege to jump and shout in His name. Amen. I love God, and He's done more for me than this world could ever do. The Bible says, what have you profited if you gain this whole world and lose your soul? Oh, hallelujah. I thank God one day, amen, that I wanted to be one of them. Amen. I thank God that I am one of them. Amen. Let's just worship God today. Amen. Let's pray as we open our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We glorify your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have, Lord, that we can lift up holy hands and magnify you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's give him praise. Let's give him honor. Hallelujah, God, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name.
Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name.
name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Would you just worship His name right now? Lord Jesus, we magnify Your name. We glorify Your name, Jesus. There is nobody like You, Lord.
Yours is the glory, Yours is the name above all names. What a wonderful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You reign. Yours is the kingdom, Yours is the glory, Yours is the name above all names. You have no rival, You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You reign. Yours is the kingdom, Yours is the glory, Yours is the name above all.
We're singing about Jesus. Come on, there's no sweeter name. We're saying He's the light into darkness. Come on, when you're in trouble, you speak the name Jesus and He shows up. Come on, it's a beautiful name. We need to cry out to the wonderful name of Jesus. He's in this place today. Whatever need that you have, He's here today. Jesus has set foot in this room. Whatever you need today. We're going to open up the altars for a time of prayer. If you have a specific need, we invite you to come forward. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe with you. How many would lift up their hands and say they have an unspoken request? They have something that you need Jesus to do. Look all around this place. There are needs represented, and Jesus is here to meet you. Why don't we just lift up our hands and let's ask God to step into our situation. Ask God to move right now. Come on, really call upon the name of Jesus. If you believe that Jesus was in the room right now, you would cry out to Him. You'd say, Jesus, I need You. Well, He's here today. Cry out to Him. God, we need You, Lord. We need You to move right now. We need You to touch right now. God, we need You to meet us at the point of our need right now. Come on, church. Come on, Jesus is in this place. We don't need to move forward before we get a touch of Jesus. We don't need to move beyond to the rest of the service before God sets foot in our lives and into this place. Jesus, we need You right now. Jesus, we need You right now. Jesus, we need You right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is, I believe He is here. I know it's time to move. I know, but Jesus is here. And we don't want to miss an opportunity to get something from the Creator, from the Waymaker. So I'm one more time, we're going to sing the song again. We're going to move on with the service. But just all over this place, let's just lift up our hands. And let's make up in our mind that I know we have other stuff planned. We have other things on the agenda. But I need a touch from Jesus. I need Jesus to speak a word into my life. I need Jesus to speak some truth into my heart. And He'll do that. Come on, just welcome Him in right now. Welcome Him in this place. God, we welcome You here. God, we need You. We need You. God, we need You right now. We need You right now. We need You to move. We need You to move. God, we need You to move. We need You to move. God, we praise You.
For You are raised.
Hallelujah.
To life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my what a powerful name it is. Nothing compares it. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, what a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand again. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. I think He's worthy of a shout. Directly after the service, we're going to have a department head meeting, and there will be no PM activities. Brother Mike, will you pray for the offering at this time? Amen.
There is power in Jesus, to break every chain, 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 to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, bought of redemption, heaven's gate, swing wide. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling.
Is enough to break every chain.
every chain of your blood is enough to break. Every chain in your blood is enough to break every chain. Every chain. Every chain.
Amen. Before we move any further in service, we're going to lift up Sister Adkins and her son and her family, the entire Adkins family, in prayer. We all know the need with her son. They've turned him over to hospice, and the doctors say it doesn't look well. But we serve a prayer-answering God. So some of our ladies, let's connect again with Sister Adkins. I know we just prayed, but we want to pray again because this is our family. She is our family. Her family is our family. So let's lift up the entire Adkins family right now, all over this place. God, we need you to touch. We need you to move. We need you to minister. You know the situation better than we do. God, you are God on the throne, and I pray, Lord, that you would be an encourager to Sister Adkins. God, that you would lift her up right now. God, I pray peace over her life. I pray peace into her family's life, God, that you would just move and minister. God, provide salvation for her son. God, provide healing for the son. God, I pray above all, Jesus, that, Lord, he would find you in this dark time. God, that he'd turn to you right now. God, that he'd see that his sins matter more than his sickness. God, I pray, turn his attention towards you. God, work, 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 God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, do the miracle. God, do the miracle. Only you can do it. God, the doctors can't. God, we can't, but you can step in to this situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We are the church body. We are here to encourage one another. We are here to stand with one another. We are here to pray with one another. We need to continue to pray for the Adkins family. And the Adkins family is throughout this church, this body of believers. They're intertwined. Sister Adkins is intertwined into the majority of this church. But even those that aren't connected, we are family. She is our sister, and we want to continue to pray for her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Speaking of family, speaking of continuing to pray for family, we want to take just a moment and we want to pray over our lost loved ones. We are a family. I keep saying it, but we are a family. And so we all have children, parents, uncles, you know, relationships that are not where they should be with the Lord. And we want to take those names that are in the jar and those names that we've yet to put in the jar but that are in our mind. We want to lift them up in prayer, believing that God sees exactly where they're at, that his hands are on them, and then he's protecting them, and he will bring them back to the Lord. So let's lift up each and every name, each and every person that is represented. God, you know, you see exactly where our lost loved ones are at. God, you see the decisions they've made to lead them to where they're at, God. But you are not bound by their decisions. You are not bound. God, you are not hindered, Jesus. God, you are able to reach and you are able to soften dark full hearts, Jesus. You're able to prick hearts, God. Stiff-necked, ignorant people, you can still reach, you can still touch, God. I pray that your grace would abound, God, over our children. God, let your grace abound over our families. Let your grace abound, God. Let them see that nothing they've done could further them from you, God, that they couldn't be connected to you any longer, Jesus. Let them see your mercy, your grace, your love. Let us be a church that will love them when they come back. Let us be a church that offers grace. Let us be a church that offers mercy. Let us be a church that offers forgiveness, Lord. God, I pray that we would be a forgiving church, Jesus. We would welcome them back in with open arms, Jesus. We would love them as you love them. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It is good to be in church today. Amen. It is good to be here. I want to turn our attention to the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. As we're turning there, I do want to honor my in-laws. Came into town and they helped us move. They packed, they fed us, they took care of Paris, they did everything. This is Keith and Beth Paris, my in-laws, mother-in-law, and my brother-in-law Wes. Some of you had a chance to meet them, some of you haven't yet. Please, at some point, maybe not when I'm preaching, just for my sake, but right after service, please connect with them. They, you think my wife loves people. They love people, and she comes by it very naturally, and we are blessed and honored. I am blessed as a young man to have in-laws that love the Lord, love my daughter, love myself, and probably more than all those things combined, love their granddaughter. So very blessed. And then my brother-in-law, I didn't want to spring it on him because it wasn't planning on being here today. But at some point very soon, you will hear my brother-in-law preach. He is a man of God and is preaching all over Southern Illinois, is leading a campus ministry group, is just a dynamic young man of God, and excited to see what God is going to do in his life. And you will get to see very soon when I give him ample time. Didn't want to throw it on him last minute, but I'm very thankful that they are here today with us. Amen. Also, before we move forward, I do want to take a moment. Tomorrow, as most of you know, and I was reminded, is Veterans Day. And I know we don't have, unfortunately, I didn't put together a big program, and I will work better, be more diligent about that. But I do want to pause, and I do want to honor our veterans. Are there any veterans in the room today? Brother Kellum? Any other? Well, we want to take a moment. And I know my grandfather served for many years, and I know we all have people that are connected, and it is a true privilege and honor to be an American, to have people that will willingly go to war, willingly give up their lives, willingly separate themselves from their families. I have a cousin who serves even now, and he's home, but he just came home a couple of months ago, and he's served in various different environments. So they give so much for us to just be able to come into a place and not worry, not have a fear, not have a doubt. So we honor all of our veterans, but specifically, we honor you, Brother Kellum. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you. The book of Mark, chapter 2. I'll read a couple of verses, and I'll try and get through them quickly, because I know you've been on your feet. But Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. Excuse me. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, and so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I want to read the last verse in the New King James Version, verse 12 that I just read. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I want to speak to us for a few moments today that our sins matter more than our sickness. Let's close our Bibles. Let's lift up our hands and let's ask God to move and minister in this place. In Jesus' name. God, I pray, Lord, you're in this place. You're in this atmosphere, Jesus. God, turn our hearts towards you. God, help us to see what you're doing in this place. Help us to see, God, that our sins are the most important thing, and you are a forgiver of our sins, God. We thank you, Lord, what you've already done today. I pray that you would complete your work today. Complete it in this service, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. Just as a precursor, if I stop and cough, know that I'm very much on the mend. And Sister Joella, you don't have to worry about cough drops. I have a pocket full of them. So if you hear something rattling around, it's because I have 7 cough drops in my mouth. So just wanted to let you know I'm okay. I'm not dying. I am doing better. But the scripture that I just read in the New King James ends with, we never saw anything like this. There are few times in your life where you can truly say, if you're being really honest, that I never saw anything like this. I think of a time when my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Hong Kong a couple of years ago. And if you've ever been overseas anywhere, it's a shocking experience, but especially for my wife and I, Hong Kong. We've never seen anything like it. The amount of people, the buildings, larger than New York City in terms of skyscrapers, there are the amount of skyscrapers, and just the people that were there. We've never seen anything like it. We never smelled anything quite like that as well. But I've been to the Grand Canyon, and if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, you've never seen anything like it. Pictures don't do it justice. Words don't do it justice. Just the grandioseness of the Grand Canyon. You've never seen anything like it before. And that we could put that statement all throughout the New Testament with every miracle that Jesus had performed, that I've never seen anything like this before, because Jesus performed miracles that could not be defined by human knowledge, and it didn't make sense through man's eyes. So the only appropriate response to Jesus could be, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anyone in this fashion, someone so pure, someone so righteous, someone without blame and spotless, someone who would willingly suffer crucifixion for a wretched soul like me who is undeserving and unworthy. We've never seen anything like this. We still haven't seen anything like that. We still have never experienced any person, anything, any pleasure, anything like Jesus. Nothing compares to Jesus. Once you get so up close and personal, once you realize who Jesus really is, once you realize what Jesus did for you and how Jesus loves you and how Jesus keeps you, the only response we can have to Jesus is, I've never seen anything like this. We should expect and we should plan and we should hope and expect and believe that we are going to have services where we walk out of the building and we say to ourselves, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen God do what he did today. Where we're sitting at lunch and we're shocked. We can't even eat our meal. We can't even get through our appetizer, our chips and salsa. We just have to continue to say, I've never seen anything like this before. Where the waitress comes by And we're so much Jesus on us that the waitress comes by and she sees us, and the only word she can say is, "I've never seen anything like you before. What's different about you?" And we can turn to her and say, "Well, we experienced something that we've never experienced before." And that's what Jesus did. Jesus doesn't want run-of-the-mill services. Jesus doesn't want Sunday, just clap and go home, and man, that was an all A-OK service. Jesus wants more than that for us. He wants us to truly be astonished at what he has done. God's still in the business of performing miracles. God's still doing miracles. Sister Atkins, God's still doing miracles. He's still on the throne, and as long as he's on the throne, he's still working in our lives. Amen. In our text, we see the foundation being laid for Jesus to fulfill the prophecy of who he was to become, the one that would forgive us of our sins. And we see it in Mark 2, and we know this story, this passage well, if you've been to Sunday school, but I want to go through it just a little bit. Mark 2 and 4 says, "When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein of the sick of the palsy lay." So we know it, but just as, so I can hit it again, they literally ripped up the roof. Four friends got together and said, "My buddy Bill, he needs it. He just needs it, and so we're going to do whatever." They probably went to the door. They saw it. We can't get him through. No one's going to let us in. So we're going to go out of our own way because we care this much for our friend. We're going to inconvenience ourselves. And we believe that the person in that room has got a touch for our friend Bill. And so they do this thing. They lay him down, or they bring him down through the roof. And verse 5 says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The scripture doesn't say when he saw the man's faith. I don't even know if the man had faith in this moment. I don't know if they woke him up in the middle of the night and they said, "Jesus is in town. We're going to go see Jesus." I'm not sure, because it doesn't even necessarily highlight Jesus's or Bill's faith in this story. I don't know why he's Bill. Sorry, Brother Davis. I guess. But because of their faith, Jesus forgave him. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," because it matters who you rub elbows with. It matters who you surround your life with. It matters who is close to you. It matters who you lean upon. Some of us too often spend time with people who are basic needs level of faith, or they are when a check's in the mail level of faith. Or sadly, we could even be around people who, "I only believe in God when everything's going smoothly" level of faith. And too often we could probably be that level of faith. But this man surrounded himself with faith, or with the kind of faith that even the people around me receive salvation level of faith. They had salvation level of faith for this man. And it's a question we got to ask ourselves: that who are you walking with? Who are you bound with? Brother Greg, help me. Who are you locking arms with? I mean, we have a church. We have a church of godly, good people. We have good, godly people that I know that if I stumble, if I'm in trouble, Brother Greg's got me. I know that if Brother Greg stumbles, I got him. And I know that we could say that, you know, we're together and we're in on this and we got good brothers and sisters, but really, who are you surrounding yourself with? And do you trust that Brother Greg or Sister So-and-so or whoever that person is in your life has enough faith not only for them, but for you to get an answer to your prayer? And if they don't, I'm not saying leave them down the road, but bring them along with you. We need to have that level of faith that if Brother Greg's in a trial, I come alongside Brother Greg, and I believe that Brother Greg's going to get an answer to his prayer. I believe that Brother Greg's going to get a touch, not just for myself, but for Brother Greg as well. We got to bind with each other and help each other and carry each other. We need each other. Bill, in this scenario, Mike. Is there a Mike? There is a Mike. Oh, my goodness. Tony. Do we have a Tony? But we got to believe for our friends. We got to connect for our friends. And I want my faith in God to be so high that just being around me, you just interacting with me, God has to take notice of you. Because I have so much faith. Because I am such a believer in what he's able to do. And I believe that God wants us for that. And so this miracle takes place very early on in the ministry of Jesus. So far, Jesus has cast out an unclean spirit in Mark 1, verse 25. He's healed Simon's mother in Mark 1, verse 31. He's cast out many more demons and healed diverse diseases in Mark 1, 34. He's healed a leper just by saying the words, "Be thou clean," in Mark 1, 41. And up to this point, those that were around him, the Pharisees, the scribes, those that were around him were just amazed at what Jesus did. They were just interested. They were just astonished at what Jesus did when Jesus was performing miracles. But it's not until verse 5 in Mark chapter 2 that Jesus says that dirty three-letter word, sin, that people get up in arms. And people start to get uncomfortable with who this guy is. And they start to say, who does he think he is? Well, only the Messiah has the right to forgive sin. What does he think he's doing? Because before, whenever all the miracles were taking place, they could care less. They thought it was neat. It was a novelty act. But now this man is saying, thy sins be forgiven thee. Who does he think he is? And it's just like the enemy to be perfectly content to have you living off of miracles. The enemy is completely okay with us seeing blinded eyes open. I believe Satan and all his demons are perfectly content if we had 10 people walk into this room or be rolled into this room in wheelchairs and 10 people get up out of wheelchairs and walk out of this place but never come back in here again. And their hearts still be broken. They still have a life full of sin. The enemy would be perfectly content with miracles. He's content with miracles. But the moment we inch closer and closer to God and we realize that miracles are all well and good, but instead of having a healing in my body, I want God to come and move into my heart. Instead of having just a physical touch, I get a spiritual touch where my sins are forgiven, where my shame is removed, where my guilt is ripped away. That's when the enemy gets nervous. The enemy is okay with us running and jumping and having a good service but leaving the same way, not being changed. But it's the moment that sin steps in is when the enemy does not enjoy that. It's because the enemy knows sins are far more important than our sickness. Instead of having a full bank account, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want to get beyond the spectacle of a miracle and get into the salvation of God healing or of God forgiving somebody of their sins, God baptizing them, washing away their sins, God offering up an eternity of salvation to them. Because sins matter more than sickness. As long as God removes my sins today, I'll be okay. I may walk out of here with a limp, but if I am right with the Lord, that's okay. That's all right. And Jesus, in the scripture, he turns to the Pharisees. And I believe he ratchets up the intensity upon them. And he's already rebuked demons out of a man that recognized him as the Holy One of God in Mark 1:24. But these men, these Pharisees, they can't even see who Jesus is. So he says to them in Mark 2:9, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? He's telling them, he's asking them, what is easier? Literally, he's asking them, is it easier just the words, not the action? Is it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or arise and walk? Which words are easier? Not which action, because to Jesus, the action is negligible. It's all the same. And he's saying, Brother Greg, I'm going to use you today. I apologize. You're sitting on the front row. But it's like I would ask, and do you have any shoulder ailments, any arm issues? You're good. Brother Greg, is it easier for you to raise your right arm or raise your left arm? Both pretty easy. Yeah. I know I'm dumbing this down. Forgive me for that. You're all smart people. You don't need me to do this. But is it easier to turn your head to the left or the right? Same. Very easy. Is it easy to, I'm one step further, right leg or left leg? Same. Easy. All that was pretty easy. Thank you, Brother Greg. Give it up for Brother Greg. But listen, Jesus is telling them, is it easier for me to say the words? Because we get so caught up in the gravity, the grandiosity, I'll use it again, the size of our need, the size of the miracle, that we assume that God is intimidated by our need. God is intimidated by our sickness. God is intimidated about our family situation, that this is so big because it is so big to us. But God, Jesus, is telling them, it's just words to me. So is it easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? What's the difference to me? Is it easier for God to say, your children will be saved, or for him to say, your bank account will be full? Is it easier for him to say, your family will be put back together, or your sins are forgiven you? What is it? And the thing is, it's easy for God. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, just by speaking the words. Don't get so bogged down in the size of your need that you forget that he spoke the universe into existence. And if he can speak the universe into existence, he can speak into your need, into your trial, into your situation, and in just words to him, just words. The very next chapter, Mark chapter 3, he's dealing with the leper, and all he says is, be thou clean. That's all he says, and he's clean. All God needs to do is speak, and your need is done. All he needs to do is speak, and it's taken care of. It's over. What you've been up against for years and years and years is done. It's easy for God. We get so caught up in how big it is to us. And it's so big to us, but it is so small to God. As easy as it was for Brother Greg to just do this, it's even easier for God. It's so simple for him, but we get so bogged down and we get so frustrated and so caught up because it's huge to us. But to God, it's so easy. It's so easy for him to speak a miracle into reality today. It'd be so simple for him to do that. It would be nothing. He wouldn't even blink. It just means nothing to him. I mean, it means everything to him, but it's not a weight that he carries. And so Jesus goes one step further just to prove to the Pharisees. In Mark 2, verse 11, he says, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Jesus, he performs two miracles in this healing. He heals the paralyzed man, but much more important, he forgives the sin of a paralyzed man. Much more important, he forgives. One is temporary. That paralyzed man could have gotten up. He could have gone home. Tony, he could have had a nice meal. He could have gotten in his car and driven somewhere and gotten into a car accident, and he'd be right in the same position. He's facing the same battle, or eventually Tony is going to get old in age and he's going to not be able to run and jump the way he was able to do. And eventually, regardless of how good that miracle was, it is only temporary. Tony was not going to continue to live, but one of those was eternal. One was celebrated, one was questioned. Too often we come to church looking for a big miracle. We all want, and I am chief among you, I want to see miracles performed here. I want to see wheelchairs left in the altar. I want to see blind eyes open. And I believe God has that, and God desires that for our church. We love seeing videos. There's a video that went around Facebook, if you saw it the last couple of weeks, of some foreign country where they're having a revival, and a woman had an arm that, I mean, I can't even perform how the arm was so recoiled up. It had been that way from birth, and they're in a prayer circle and they're praying. And in the video, I mean, you see joints and muscle and bone, and it was curled and furled up and begin to straighten. And an arm that had never been straightened before in her entire life was straightened. And it was, I mean, it's a powerful Facebook video. If you haven't seen it, I'll find it and I'll post it on the First Apostolic Church page. Because it's very powerful. And we love seeing all of those things, and that's incredible. But at the end of the day, that's just an arm. It's incredible to showcase what God is able to do. But her arm is just an arm. But how much more so on just a regular Sunday afternoon here in Sandwich, Illinois, if someone who would turn their back on the Lord or someone who had never repented before comes in to a service, they lift up their hands and they begin to call upon Jesus and they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How much more is that? That's an eternal thing. Now, I thank God for the miracles, but I want to see the miracle of salvation. I want to see the miracle of God, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what I want to see, more than wheelchairs. I'd rather have this altar be full of broken hearts and broken bodies and just broken people who receive the miracle of the Holy Ghost and salvation with God. That matters more than sickness. Luke 15, verse 8. Says, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is a party. There is, I mean, I imagine Gabriel and Michael, they're wearing hats. They have the things. I mean, there's glitter. They have the poppers that just spray confetti everywhere. But it is a party in heaven. They are rejoicing when just one sinner repents. Just one sinner repents. Imagine that person you've been praying for. That person, that child, that family member, that we are every service lifting them up. And I want their physical body to be touched. And I want good things to happen to their jobs and their businesses. And I want all those things. But more so, I want this jar to be emptied out of people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, who've been baptized, who came back to the Lord. That matters more. That is eternal. That is eternal. You better believe. You better believe that the first Sunday or Wednesday, or if it's a Tuesday, whatever God wants to do, the first service that we get to come here and I get the awesome privilege to be standing here and baptize somebody in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you better believe there's going to be a party, there's going to be some celebration, there's going to be some rejoicing, because God saved somebody's soul. God provided. God brought somebody out of darkness. And such were some of you who were in darkness, who were in mire, who were in muck, but God performed the miracle of calling you out, bringing you out of all of that. God is offering that to those beyond these four walls. I believe God wants more than a revival of miracles. I know. God wants a revival of souls. God wants to see new people, old people, backsliders, people come into this church. We should be over the moon. We will be, and I believe we will be. It will be a party. I attended a church in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's a very large church, and they're privileged to see salvations regularly, and they have a homeless ministry, a soup kitchen ministry, where they have a service, and regularly they get to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized, and they do this thing called, every Sunday, it's called What's With the Party, and they dim the lights, and they have cool lights going, and they showcase people's picture on the screen that were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I think it's such a cool idea. And I can't wait. We may rip that off. And I'll call Brother Johns and tell him myself we stole that, and he would say, great. Because it should be a celebration every single time. Every time. Because God did it. God saved a soul. God saved a soul. If I have peace of the Holy Ghost, I can live with a limp. If I have joy in the Lord, I'll make it through any physical or financial obstacle. I can make it through all of this. And I hear me, I want every single person, I don't want anybody to walk with a limp. I don't want anybody to be in pain. That's not my goal. But I'm just saying, if it's one or the other, I desire salvation. I desire my sins to be washed and my sins, me to be made new. I'm believing, I do want to make it clear. I do believe in victory for our body. I do believe God wants to provide healing. I was yesterday, and I haven't, thank God, I haven't been hit with a coughing attack today. But just the last couple of days, I just could barely get words out, stopping, pausing mid-sentence to just cough, which is really fun for the people I'm talking to, I'm sure, as I... But last night was just in the middle of the night, just probably keeping my wife and my daughter and my in-laws and everybody in the Duels house, thank you, probably keeping the whole house awake, just coughing. And so I literally just pulled up, looked at scriptures on healing. And I was just like, I can't sleep right now. I'm just going to Google scriptures on healing and just read scriptures. And there are, the Bible is full of promises that God will heal you. And I'm not campaigning against healing, and I know I believe you understand me, but I do want to preface that I believe God has a healing for you. But more so than that, God wants you to be saved. That is God's sole purpose. That is God's sole plan. A man with a no-win situation made his way to Jesus. He was stricken with an incurable disease, Bill, was destined to live his life as an invalid, relying on those around for him to provide for him. Nothing good should have happened to this man. He was in a no-win dilemma. But when a no-win, nothing good, I'm stuck in this issue, situation. When a no-win comes face to face with the Messiah, I've never seen anything like this before happens. When you have your no win, I'm destined to be whatever. Whatever the enemy has lied. Last Sunday we talked about lies and we talked about things that the enemy has lied to us and made us to believe to be true. Whatever those things are, you believe you're destined to be. When you come face to face with the Almighty God, I've never seen anything like this before takes place. It was very obvious to everybody else in that room in our text that that man was clearly here to be healed. Every single person would have understood probably after the roof opened up and they started to see the man come down. They probably recognized, oh, that's Tony. Tony, he made it. I'm so glad Tony was here. And everybody there knew why Tony was there. He's there to be healed. This is the guy that heals people. He's there to be healed. It's painstakingly obvious to everyone there that he's sick and needs a healing. But to Jesus, it was painstakingly obvious what this man really needed. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. If we could all stand. Jesus, to everybody else, it was clear. Everybody else knew. He can't walk. He's stricken with palsy. Clearly, he's here to get a touch. Clearly, he's here to walk again. And Jesus says, there's a heart that doesn't know me. I believe Jesus looked past. Jesus created him. He knew he had palsy. He knew he didn't make a mistake. I don't know if he was born with it. I don't know the situation. But Jesus knew this man. But because of their faith, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'd rather have the thing that my Almighty God thinks I need than the thing that I desire. I'd rather have what he thinks I need. What, regardless of everyone in here is looking at me saying, well, Titus, you clearly need this. My wife would say, Titus, you need this. Or my parents would say, Titus, you need this. But God's saying, I don't even bother with that. That's nothing to me. I see something specific that you need in your life. And this man, he receives a physical healing, but only after, he only gets his healing after everyone causes a stink, after everyone starts to complain, after everyone, that's the only, and I, I'm not even sure, I don't know, and I'm not trying to put anything in the Bible, but I don't even think God necessarily cared about healing that man that day. I mean, all he said was, thy sins be forgiven thee, and he moved on, and I don't know if he cared, and it's not because God didn't care or doesn't care. It's because he cares so much more for our souls, more than our physical body. In Luke 19:10, he tells us, he says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. That's why he's here. That's why he's here today, to seek and save that which was lost. And as we close today, I believe God is in this place to touch physical needs. I believe that he's here and he wants to touch your family. I believe that he wants to restore your family. I believe that he wants to touch your finances. And I believe he wants to do all of those things. But more than all of those things. If you left here and your finances were still a mess, if your family was still broken, if you didn't get the answer that you thought you needed today, but yet your soul was revitalized, but yet your sins were forgiven, yet you were in the right place, that if God came back this afternoon, you're making heaven your home, more so than my sickness, more so than my pain, I thank God for my salvation. I thank God that he died on the cross for me. I thank God that he could say to me, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so as we close today, I want us all to come, and we're gonna close, and I want us to just thank God that he offers salvation at this altar. Thank God, I'm inviting you forward. And I know we'll pray for needs, and I'm not saying if you have a need, we're not gonna pray for it. But why don't we find a place and just say, thank you, God. Lord, that you came to a cross. You came to this earth for my sins. Even though I was wretched, even though I was ugly, even though I was broken, God, my sins matter more than the sickness. Why don't we begin to pray all over this place? Come on. Let's begin to call upon God. Come on. If you have sin in your life, now is a good time to lay it on the altar. Now is a good time to let God take care of it. Now is a good time to be washed white as snow. See, because God cares more about washing you. God cares more about making you clean than he does about your sickness right now. Almighty God, I pray, Lord, that you would visit this place. God, that you would touch our hearts. God, you see our hearts. God, they're dirty. They're ugly, God. They're discolored. God, they're sin. God, but you're in this place to say, son, daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. God, we repent of our sins. God, we are broken before you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. God, let there be a repentance that would settle here. God, a repentant spirit, a repentant heart, Jesus. God, help us to turn from our iniquities. God, turn from our wicked ways right now. I pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus, touch us. Jesus, touch us. Jesus, touch us, God.
In the blood of your sacrifice.
God, we pray.
Your blood flowed and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I'm clean.
scripture that we read, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I believe that we have names. We have people. We continue to pray for them every service. I feel burdened for them. I think God, hear me, I'm not trying to get into the breakdown of him forgiving sins now that he's gone to the cross, but I believe God, because of our faith, because of your faith, because of what you believe, because of your determinedness, because of your faithfulness, God will reach your family. God will speak to your family because of who you are. God will use you because you're faithful, because you believe. God, help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. God, I know we're going to close. We're going to close. But one more time, why don't we just, as we pray, just pray, God, increase my faithfulness. God, I want salvation level faith. That when people are around me, just by being around me, that they will have just God's attention. That those connected to me because of my faith, because of how strongly I believe this, that I'll have eternal effects on that. Let's just pray. We'll sing one more time, but let's just turn our prayers to God. Increase my faith. God, I want salvation level faith. I want salvation. God, use me. Increase my faith that I believe. I am determined. I am dead set on what I believe. God, that because of my faith, my family members will receive this truth. They'll see the truth. They'll see the gospel. They'll see who you really are. They'll see that you're a forgiver of sins. They'll see that you're a way maker. They'll see that you're a provider. God, I pray, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. Increase my faith.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your blood poured and made me one.
as you go home today and as you go about your week this week, just be reminded that God chose you. There are almost 8 billion people on the planet. And God said, I'm choosing this group of people. There's 7,500 people in Sandwich, Illinois. God said, I'm choosing this group of people. I'm going to wash away your sins. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to be with you. And it's not just, you know, we're not just a peculiar people. We're not just a holy nation. We're not just a royal priesthood just for us, but so that we could show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why he chose you. That's why he chose me. That's why he chose us, so we could show forth the pure, the washed in the blood. Our dirty rags are purified. He chose us for that. So as we close today, we want to have special prayer for Paige and for Izzy. They're two Sunday school bus kids who were both running a fever today, and Sister Darlene made sure she told them that we're going to have prayer for them today. And so we're going to have prayer for them today. And we love our bus kids. We love our children. And so we want them to know that they have a church that is praying for them. We want their parents to know there's a church. There's people. We love them. And so we want to lift up Paige and Izzy as we're dismissed today. God, Jesus' name, God, we pray. God, touch these needs. God, touch Paige and Izzy. God, I pray that you would help them. God, help us to reach to them. Help them to feel this love. Help them to feel this touch. God, you touch their fevers. God, I pray that they would know that there's a church that loves them. There's a church that's praying for them. There's a God that cares for them. Help them to experience that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we also, one more prayer, we want to pray for Jill. It's Sahara and Ariana's grandmother, and she has bronchitis and sinusitis. And also lift up Tiffany, their mother. We just need God to help them. And actually, you girls are here. Why don't you come forward? I'm not trying to embarrass you girls, but come right up here. And let's have some of our ladies, you can come on down. We love these girls. We want to pray for these girls, pray for their mother, their grandmother. Josh has been here. Let's just pray that God touches us in this entire situation. Amen. Well, we are all dismissed today. Shake someone's hand, hug someone's neck, tell them you love them. There is a department head meeting. We'll meet in probably in 15 or 20 minutes, some time to make sure you hug, shake, love before you get down there. No service tonight.